Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
So, there's nothing to worry about any longer, because the Fed is cutting rates. Powell panicked with a 50 basis point rate cut, and that means there's a lot more to come. And the People's Bank of China and Beijing is printing renminbi like mad. The permanently blind permables are cheering on a new liquidity wave and proclaiming that all of our problems have supposedly now vanished forever, simply because the government in the United States and in China has deployed its put and has come to the rescue by canceling free markets and abrogating the power of markets forever. Hence, other than the little worries about maybe World War III, the perennial asset bubbles, the inflation, and the looming collapse of the bond market, other than that, there's nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. The government is trying to usurp free market forces by artificial stimuli. But by doing so, it is making the inevitable reconciliation of asset prices much more painful. That is what the government is doing, and governments around the world. They are making the inevitable reconciliation of asset prices much more painful. They are postponing the pain and making the pain worse. The idea that a government can repeal the business cycle and ensure markets and the economy never falter by borrowing and printing more money is absurd, to say the least. It has been proven over and over and over again throughout history that borrowing a massive amount of money and having it printed by your central bank is a prescription for disaster. Now, that doesn't mean that we panic right now. That doesn't make me a perma bear. It just means that things are getting worse fundamentally, but look good on the surface. It's a superficial economy. What governments create when they print and borrow and print is inflation and chaos when they try to stimulate the economy. While deficit spending that is monetized by our central bank can create short-term boosts, a short-term boost in GDP, in the longer term, it destabilizes the economy because inflation is the ultimate destabilizer. Onerous debt is terrible, and pushing asset bubbles into a more tenuous position is not what is needed. But the liquidity impulse is still muted, even though people are lauding this, the liquidity wave has hit. It's still relatively muted. I mean, we still have quantitative tightening happening. The real Fed funds rate is still positive. The reverse repo facility is now all but drained, except for a couple hundred billion, which is about as low as it'll ever get. And don't forget the bottom four quintiles of American consumers, their purchasing power has been severely injured because of inflation that has already taken place. And the Fed is now trying to make that worse. And most importantly, long-term yields are now rising instead of falling. The unemployment rate is rising. Defaults are rising. Delinquencies are rising, and these dynamics tend to become secular trends once they begin. And as I mentioned, we have those three humongous asset bubbles in credit, real estate, and equities. Powell's pursuit of inflation does not help that condition at all. It only makes it much worse. So there's plenty of things to worry about. Does that mean, again, that I'm a perma bear? No. Does it mean that I'm short the market now? Nope. It just means that my eyes are wide open. Now, here's some facts for you. Average hourly earnings are up 22%. The consumer price index is up 22% since the start of COVID, since the start of 2020. So for the past 4.5 years or so, 22% average hourly earnings and the consumer price index. But home prices are up 50%. Car prices are up 30%. Food prices are up 30%. Car insurance is up 50%. 50% of Americans have less than $500 in bank, and 75% are living paycheck to paycheck. How is it that the Fed is helping out the wiped out and devastated consumer by declaring victory over inflation when what they really need is not more and faster inflation or to stop the disinflation? What they really need is deflation. Now, I know a recession is painful in the short term, but that is what is truly needed to bring the economy back into balance and to provide a backdrop for sustainability. But recession or not, there's no chance the S&P 500 earnings per share will grow by 15% when nominal GDP growth is about 4% at best. And there's likely a fiscal cliff at the end of 2025. If we have a divided White House and Congress, in other words, if DC is divided, then we are probably going to have a fiscal cliff at the end of 2025. There'll only be executive orders able to be passed. No big spending bills and no blank check for the continuation of the Trump tax cuts. So you're going to get a tax hike at the end of 2025, which will be priced into the market somewhere around, I was going to say, June of next year. The bond and stock markets are priced for perfection. And yet there is no room to go on the upside for either one, really. There's not much room at all. I mean, the stock market's trading at 200% of GDP, and the 10-year note is through the roof as far as its price is concerned. And the economy can't function with a frozen real estate market. Pending home sales hovered at a record low in the past 2 months. Mortgage rates already fell, but pending home sales fell by 3% year over year in August, despite a sharp decline in mortgage rates. So the sharp decline in mortgage rates has already happened. A significant reduction in the Fed funds rate might stimulate transactions in the real estate market, but what about the price of the home? Another inflation attack, especially in the real estate market, could kill the vestiges of the middle class and may destroy any confidence left in our bond market. Okay, so I still hear people saying, but the Fed is cutting rates, liquidity wave. Like I mentioned last week, the last three times the Fed cut rates by 50 basis points was 2020, 2007, and 2021. And the S&P fell by 35% and 50% and 50%, respectively. Don't forget, the yield curve just normalized after being inverted for the longest duration ever. A recession and or collapse of GDP growth has always occurred about 3 to 6 months after the uninversion has taken place. So we're not out of the woods. This is what my point of this podcast. We are not out of the woods. The liquidity wave, supposedly, that is supposedly coming, is muted at best. And there's still the fundamentals of this economy that are teetering and tottering on a very narrow razor's edge. Economic activity in the manufacturing sector contracted in September for the sixth consecutive month and for 22 out of the last 23 months, according to the ISM manufacturing report that was released yesterday. The employment subcomponent index fell to 43.9 from 46 in the prior month, which is a faster contraction in the labor market. This continuing and deepening manufacturing recession is occurring before the ports strike and before Hurricane Helene hit the Southeast U.S. Hence, in the short term, over the next couple of months, the economic data is going to be rancid. It's going to become much worse. But yet people just seem to want to just tell you that it's an all clear signal to buy stocks with reckless abandon forever. I am myopically focused on the credit markets and in particular the trading in the U.S. long-term treasury bond complex, 10 years and out. This current rate cutting cycle began with the effective Fed funds rate at 5.3%, but the 10-year note had already anticipated Powell's well-telegraphed cuts and was trading at a yield of just 3.6%, not 5% like it was in the last two times that the Fed cut rates. The 10-year note is already 3.6%. Therefore, outside of a recession, there is no room for bond yields to fall, which is how the Fed engineers a boost in economic activity after they come to the notion that the economy needs a bailout. Because lower rates on onerous debt levels fixes a lot of problems. But higher rates on more and more debt causes problems. So it's the opposite that's happening now. Indeed, with bond prices in a bubble, the liquidity in the bond market fading, and an insolvent treasury, and a Fed that is now pursuing inflation, the danger is for long yields to spike rather than fall during this latest rate-cutting cycle. Now again, while it's not time to go short, it is also not time at all to close your eyes and your mind and head to the beach. It is absolutely imperative to have a portfolio manager who understands how fake and phony and dangerous the U.S. economy and stock market really are, but at the same time is able to make money as long as this artificial bull market lasts. That is exactly what we're doing. My inflation, deflation, economic cycle model is built to identify the early warning signs for when the bear market begins and when the recession is about to begin and we'll get out of harm's way. And I built it so we can stay long until it happens, until it's imminent, so we can stay long the stock market in the correct allocations while we wait. That is not being a perma bull. It isn't being a perma bear either. It is being a perma realist, which simply increases your odds of being successful in all macroeconomic conditions.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.